Hi, this is Bob Sorrentino from Italian Roots and Genealogy, and I'm here today with Robin Foster from Genealogy Just Ask. So welcome, Robin. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's great to have you. So before we get into what Genealogy Just Ask can do for everybody, what's your background and why did you get started in genealogy?
Well, as far as family history is concerned, I always ask questions from my mother, father, my mother's parents, and my father's parents, plus all my uncles. And I was the child that was always asking the question, and they would tell me.
And that's like most of us, I think. I always like looking at the old photos.
Yeah. And I got to where I was out of high school and almost out of college. And I joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's something that they do. We do that. And so I got more into it. And I started writing down the oral histories. Then I started looking on the censuses to find my people. So it's just been a very fun since then.
Yeah, and I think that's very important. I started too late to ask a lot of my older aunts and uncles about the oral history, but I think that's very, very important for anybody starting out is to get those oral histories.
Yeah, even if they're wrong, it's okay. Just get them.
That's a good point. There's probably always some truth in there, you know?
Yeah, I've been lucky because I've been able to prove everything. Nothing that I've been told has been wrong, but I know that that happened. But I say, get it, no matter if it's right or wrong, get it.
Well, you know, and in my case, you know, especially with my paternal grandmother, I found the stories, and then I had to go back and try and confirm with some of my older cousins and did they ever hear of this name? And because nobody ever talked about it. And my grandparents, I was relatively young when my grandfather, my paternal grandfather passed away. I was only like a couple of months, and I was only about 11 or so when my dad's mom died. So, and they didn't talk about any of this kind of stuff. And, you know, when I found out this history of her family, it just blew me away.
Wow.
And then I found birth records in Italy to confirm it and everything. So, you know, the information is out there. You just have to hunt for it.
I remember when I was teaching, I was volunteering at a family history center, and there was a lady there. First time she was looking for an ancestor from Italy. And I helped her to find a naturalization record. I remember we found it on Ancestry, and it had pictures that she had never seen before. It was wonderful.
Yeah, that's really special when you can find the photos. So now you've obviously traced your family all the way back. How far back were you able to get, and what have you found that's really super interesting?
Well, I've gotten kind of far. Probably I would say for one side of my family is in the 1800s. And when we weren't all Black, and those, I have some, I'm not Italian, I have some Irish, some Scottish, and I can go back far on those lines. But the harder lines, I'm very proud of. I found Reverend Lafayette Franklin Vance, who was my great grandfather. I'd never seen him on a census, and I was looking with my mother on the census for him in 1880. This was back when you were looking and you had we had the old internet and it would load so slow. But his family came up and I got more than I was looking for. I actually got his father and on the same census his mother. So I got went back three generations with him. He was a son of Beverly Vance, who was a slave too. And Beverly Vance had a father named Samuel Vance. He was Irish, Scottish Irish, and his mother was, I think, Cherokee, black, and I can't remember the other part. But that started me out really. It was really neat. And then I had for a long time. My second great grandparents, Lucy Nelms and actually Buck and Mary Nelms, their daughter was Lucy Nelms. And I could never find any family for Buck Nelms. He was born in 1830 and his he was enslaved. So that was hard. But this might help people. Never give up.
No.
I looked in 2021 and I found a will that had his father in there, plus some of the children and a mother. So this would have been the mother to Buck Nelms and father. And the name of the person that enslaved them was Presley Nelms. The people that were enslaved by him were David Nelms and Lucy Nelms. And he died in 1841.
Wow.
He freed them because David was a blacksmith. And it's a long story because even now I'm finding things. The children of Presley Nelms did not let them be free. So David Nelms ran away to Michigan. And now I'm just trying to find out if he ever got with his wife again because I found his wife. Just recently, and not myself found them, but Anson County Historical Society, I was there one day and they found her, and her name was Lucy too. And so they were living right next to Buck and Mary. So it's been really, really interesting. I've done blog posts on them so you can read about them. At genealogyjustask.com. One is called Steve Bailey Found My Paternal Third Great Grandma. And then the other one, it talks about Presley. It's called My Ancestor and His Family Were Freed at the Death of the Enslaver in 1840, or actually 1841.
Wow, that's really interesting. And I mentioned before that my children are adopted. And Ancestry just updated everything. And my son's birth parents, one is from, I guess her family was originally from the South, although she lived up in, I think, Maryland for a while. Her dad was from, or his dad was from Puerto Rico. And he happened, my wife and my son happened to be fifth cousins through Puerto Rico. But the other thing that I just discovered today, in fact, was I always knew that Matthew had some African American, but he's actually got about 12% from Nigeria and Congo. And you would never know from looking at him. But, that's quite a lot. And I guess it's because he, you know, his mom was from the South and his dad was from Puerto Rico, and so very interesting thing to find. And I haven't been able to trace him back that much yet because neither one of his birth parents have put a lot of data out there. So I'm still kind of on the hunt for him. My daughter, I found a lot, and I got her all the way back to England, Scotland, Wales, back
Good.
to the, wow, 12th century or something like that.
Good.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, how we found things and how you find things. But before we do that, can you tell me what are the top three things beginners should do, and what are the top three mistakes that they might make?
Okay, I have a book out that I'm really proud of because I use it all the time. It's called My Best Genealogy Tips. It's Time to Start. And the first thing I put in there was the oral history. You know, you can start your family history. Most of the time we do it online, and it's so fast. But that oral history is only going to be around for so long, and we have to get to it. And I believe that you should record it. And even on FamilySearch, you can record it. I mean, literally, it's got an audio, but you can also transcribe it and put it on there as one of the stories. The other thing is, I remember when I was searching, you get to where you want to know where to look for the record, and it's not anywhere. It's hard to find. But I found that ResearchWiki can tell you wherever you want to know, anywhere in the world, as long as you get the jurisdiction, the county or the parish or whatever it's called, right. You can get to the record right there. It's got the links on the wiki and everything. And I guess the third one would be sharing it. I think it's important that we make our family history that we're putting together, make it shareable for other people to find it. And you'll find cousins like that, and you'll really keep going.
We'll be right back.
Italian Roots and Genealogy is proudly sponsored by Your Dolce Vita and Dawn Matera, connecting people to their purpose in life and continuing their legacy. For more information, contact Dawn at www.yourdolcevita.com. And you know, I've done it. I've put a lot of stuff out. You know, if I find, and I talked about this a little bit the other day, Facebook is invaluable for some of that stuff. You could, you know, put a name in the county or the town, and you'd be surprised at what you find.
And you know, when I first started, I think it was before 2014, as far as online, I have so many Facebook pages with my family name, with African Americans in Richland County, and I found people like that. I found a family member that way. She was a relative or descendant of an Ernest Chick, who was the brother, half brother to Reverend Lafayette Franklin Vance. And no one could find them, but I found her like that on Facebook.
No, that's cool. And so what are the beginner mistakes? I know there's a lot.
There are a lot. I think not taking into consideration the differences with that you find when you're researching, you know, like names are misspelled on censuses and records. I think you should take jot down and record and source every spelling that you get. The next thing is, it's got to do more with pictures. This is a big thing with me. Some people don't want to share those pictures, and we should honor their wishes. Another mistake that people make is not going, you know, not re researching with a timeline. I think the timeline helps you know what record to look for, and it helps you know, you know, where what you're searching for, when you're searching for it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you know, to your point about the names, especially when it comes to, I don't think it's as bad in the US as it is in Italy, because you know, they're transcribing from these records from 1809, and for me, I always have the record that looks like my handwriting, which is awful, as opposed to the very, very neat stuff. But I found my second great grandmother was from S Switzerland, and she was living in Naples when she married her husband. And I found three different spellings for her name, the right one and two wrong ones. So,
Wow.
to your point, it's very important, you know, not to give up and to try those different combinations.
Yeah, it's like right now I'm helping a person, we have to search for them on the census, but she's not coming up. The family's not coming up. None of the people are coming up on the census. And they were in the same place in 1880 and 1900. And right before 1870, I found the father in the same place. Well, you'd kind of think they're in the same place, so from my experience, I told the person to search through each record of the census pages.
Yeah,
That's
so what kind of information can you find out for the census? And I know they're not as robust as we go forward in time as they were back then, but what kind of information can you find out?
you can find out. I like the 1900. It tells you the year they were born. And I have had very good success in ownership, finding them on deeds, and it'll tell you if they own it something on the 1900 census. Also, I forget what censuses they are, but naturalization is on, I think, the 1920.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Okay, and that is what you should start with if you're looking for a parent or something. And the wiki, the research wiki, you just look up naturalization, and it will tell you what a lot of things about naturalization. It breaks it all down. I use it a lot of times, but I don't remember it because it's there.
Well, yeah, and for Italians who want to get Italian Americans who want to get Italian citizenship, the naturalization is a very, very important document, because you have to prove that your parent was born before your grandparent naturalized.
Yeah. And you know, you can get names of ancestors on a census, the place that they came from. That gets the person back into Italy.
Right. And it even, well, it does tell you where they were born, and there's one, I know it does show, whether they owned the home or not. And I think it may even show what the value was on one of them. Yeah. I think it may even show the value of the home at the time.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of useful information. You know, it's hard to find some of this stuff in Italy, but I know a lot of people listening, you know, they may be half Italian. They may have parents that, you know, Irish immigrant parents that were here for a couple hundred years. So how does, and I guess I go back to the wiki, I guess if you're looking for a deed or property ownership or will, you could just check that wiki and it'll bring you there. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll take you to where, you know, some things you have to still go to the courthouse or to the archives, but sometimes, like I've used in Anson County, I sat right here in my home and looked through that online.
Oh wow, that's great. That's cool.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you a question back about your family now. So if you descended from a slave, did they always take the name of the owner, or after they, because I've heard that after some of them were freed, that they took a different surname. Is that true?
Yeah, some of them did. Some of them changed right after slavery. I have a lot of scenarios. Most of my family, they kept the name. Okay. A lot of that has to do with them being a descendant of that enslaver.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. Now, there are plenty of African Americans who have different names. The name could come from a previous enslaver.
Oh, wow. So that makes it difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
It's difficult.
And are you able to find records for, how do I want to say this? Are you able to find records for maybe 200 or 300 years ago when somebody maybe first came over? I mean, are those records out there?
Yeah.
Wow. That's something.
You can't just go to them though. It's tricky.
I bet. I'm sure it is.
Each one is different.
Yeah, and it's just amazing that stuff is still out there.
Yeah.
And what about, you know, I've seen several shows where, and I think it's fairly easy to find, like Civil War records, Revolutionary War records. I know a lot of people want to join the DAR or things like that.
Yeah. You can. Fold 3 has Revolutionary War records. The, you know, that website, fold3.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for Civil War, you can go to either Ancestry or Family Search and then look the record up on Fold 3. You get the index. Okay. But look up the record on Fold 3.
Right. And a lot of people also ask, about not World War I so much, but a lot of people look for the World War II records.
Yeah. You can look up if you want to any kind of record for any war. Okay. But you have to know the place. And then you look up that place on the wiki, and you can find the war record.
So if you knew where they were stationed.
Yes, or where they lived.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Because a lot of people look at that. I was lucky. My uncle who served at Iwo Jima, he was on a ship called the USS Duell, D-U-E-L-L, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. And he was at Iwo Jima, and he drove one of the landing craft.
Mm.
And his grandson interviewed him on, you know, he did a video interview with him.
That's good.
And, Yeah, and it was really something because he talks about driving the ship in, and he said for 24 hours he said they just pounded. They didn't think anything could possibly be alive there. And
Wow.
as he was driving in, he said, I heard the machine gun bullets come right across the top of my head. He said, then I
Wow.
realized that they weren't all dead.
Now you can also just look up Civil War on the wiki and just do go that route, or whatever war, World War One or Two, or Civil War or Korean. Just look that up on the wiki, and you'll get to that page.
That's great. That's something. And like I said, I never used it. I'm on Family Search all the time. I'm a big proponent of Family Search. I love it. Some people don't know that they'll even do a free consultation for you.
Yeah.
And I had that done. I interviewed several people from there, and I had that done, and they found it wasn't a will per se. It was actually the challenge to a will. In Italy, it was 43 pages.
Wow.
And, I think, the people don't realize that, if you find a birth record or a death record, something like that, it's great and you can confirm things. But when you find a will or a deed, you can get into the persona of that person in some ways.
That's right. That's right. Now, I love Family Search, but we have to have Ancestry because those two have this different records. So I search all the databases.
Yeah, no,
There's.
and I do the same. Yep. I do that. I do MyHeritage because you
Yeah.
never know where you're going to find something.
Never know.
And sometimes just plain old Google
Yeah,
find something.
exactly. That exactly. I found a book my great grandfather Beverly Vance was in on Amazon.
That's something. Yeah.
So no, every place is for, just look everywhere.
Yeah, and I found a couple of books in Italy with military books that listed the officers in the Neapolitan army in the 1850s, 1860s. And these things just pop up. If you're persistent, it pops up.
I want to tell you something. I pray. And that's been a big part of me finding things. In 2001, when I wanted to find the siblings or parents for Buck Nelms, I said a prayer. And that's how I found him.
I'm a firm believer in that. Some people think I'm nuts, but I'm a firmer believer. They want to be found.
Yeah.
I've had some of my own stories, but I've heard so many stories from people that it can't be a coincidence. In my case, I could not find my dad's family, Sorrentino. I could not find any records on the Antonini. I couldn't find, obviously a couple of things in America, but I couldn't find anything in Italy. So eventually I did hire somebody in Naples to help me out. And he found a lot of stuff on my father's mother, which was not hard, but he confirmed a lot of things that I knew and helped me get to the next level, if you will. But I used to ask my cousin Louise all the time about my grandmother's family because she lived with her
Yeah.
and she grew up with my grandmother, and she would tell me things that I didn't know because she lived there. And for a year, I hadn't heard anything back from them. I had heard the Piermallo, but I never heard the Sorrentino. Well, my cousin Louise passed away. And 2 days later, I got this dump of all the Sorrentino family. And I tell people, Louise tortured somebody because that's the way she was. And she said, you better get him that information because he's waiting for it.
That's really good.
And you know, I've heard, like I said, several stories about that, about the guy from Family Search. He was going on a trip, a speaking engagement in Pennsylvania, and he said, you know, Grandma, help me find this record I can't find. And somebody at that place, he asked somebody, and the next day he got the record.
Oh, that's so good. I love those stories.
Yeah, me too. And you know, I feel a couple of things. I feel that some of us have just chosen to find this kind of stuff. There's one or two people in every family
Yeah.
that are selected to do this. That, like I said before, they want to be found.
Yes.
And there's some other kind of thing out there working to guide us along.
Yes, I believe that.
I think most of us who do this kind of research kind of believe that.
Yeah.
And it's you know, for me, it's, you know, such a joy when you find that, you know, sometimes after 3 or 4 years and you find that elusive record.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I know it's like when I started in 1985 until 2001 is when I found Buck's parents. And I didn't give up. The main thing is don't give up.
Yeah. Now, have you been able to find pictures going back to the 1880s, 1870s?
My great grandfather, I have a picture of him.
That's cool. Yeah.
And you know where I get my pictures?
Where?
From my cousins that I meet.
That's something. That's,
And it's such a reward.
yeah. Well, I did not know until last June that my dad had first cousins in Italy.
Wow.
And I got to meet them. And I've told this, you know, for people listening, sorry to bore you, but I have to, you know, somebody
Go
may
ahead.
listen that didn't hear before, but when we met them there, one of my cousins he contacted me just a couple of months before we went, my dad's first cousin. And he said, I'm going to bring you someplace. I'm going to bring you to the apartment. And my dad's first cousins, both of them in their 90s, they were
Wow.
the daughters of my grandmother's youngest brother. And they start pulling out pictures that my grandmother had sent to Italy in the 1920s, 30s. And then they pulled out a pic, my they took out my parents' wedding photo from 1944
Wow.
with my grandmother's handwriting on the back.
Wow.
You know, so for the Italians listening, it's there. There's people with pictures in Italy of your family. You just have to find them and ask.
Yeah.
And then Nicola had sent me, after we got back, he went through his mom's stuff and he found photographs that my grandmother had sent in the around 1919, 1920.
That is so good.
Because that's what they would do. They would send it would be like a post, it wouldn't be like a postcard. It was a postcard with a
Postcard.
picture on the front of the family. And then, you know, the Italians here would write back home because there was no, you weren't calling on the phone or anything
Wow.
else, right? Just too expensive. But you know, it's there. You just have to keep searching for it.
It's good. That is so good.
So before we go, how do people get in touch with you and what's the website where they could find you?
The website is genealogyjustask.com, and you can email me at Robin Foster at genealogyjustask.com.
Well, that's great. And I'm sure that'll be a big help to everybody. Thanks so much for being here, Robin. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you. Hi, everyone. This is Bob Sorrentino, just letting you know that my new book, Farmers and Nobles, is now available for sale on www.italiangenealogy.blog. /Farmers and Nobles, or you can find the link in the podcast notes. Thanks for listening.